Friends, would you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words of Scripture, the words of the Gospels by which we can know you. We can be with the disciples who followed you. We can read about your story and all that you have done for us and celebrate this wonderful victory on Easter Sunday. Lord, help us to understand these amazing mysteries of faith. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I was saying to the children, that first Easter day was full of surprises, where God turned the whole world upside down, and the one who was dead rose again to life. That's a surprise. And today we celebrate the events of that day and everything that it means for us. It took the early Christian community some time to sort out what it meant as they discussed it and prayed and studied the Old Testament prophetic scriptures and traveled the land telling the good news of Jesus' resurrection. The first Easter morning, needless to say, people were shocked. Even the people who knew him best, who had heard him teaching. But Jesus had died, and he was laid in the tomb. And as far as everyone was concerned, that was the end. We know now that it wasn't the end. We have the benefit of 2,000 years of testimony that has been passed down by the power of the Holy Spirit from the very first eyewitnesses who were martyred for the sake of the gospel to people in the church today who have personally experienced the power of the risen Christ. So when the angel says to the women at the tomb, "Remember how he told you?" Well, we kind of wonder, how do you forget if Jesus tells you that he's going to rise from the dead? Well, I would imagine their brains just couldn't compute it, right? Biblical scholar N.T. Wright makes this point. He says, we shouldn't be surprised at how surprised they were on the first Easter morning. It wasn't just a lack of faith that had stopped them understanding what Jesus had said in Galilee about his rising again. It was simply that nobody had ever dreamed that one single living person would be killed stone dead and then raised to a new sort of bodily life on the other side of the grave while the rest of the world just carried on as before. The women, obviously, weren't expecting it. They weren't going to the tomb saying, well, we've got the spices just in case he's still dead, right? They knew well enough that dead people remained dead. So yes, the women were shocked. But then the angel reminded them of what they already knew. So they ran to tell all the others. And though they had also heard Jesus say it, they were incredulous and shocked too. Now, those of us who have grown up in the church and have come to church every Easter since we were little have heard this story so many times, it doesn't surprise us anymore. Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. We say it fairly regularly in our Apostles' Creed. So on Good Friday, we're already wishing people a happy Easter, right? And I know some ministers who will refuse to respond to that, but I don't think we need to act on Good Friday as though we don't know what's going to happen. In fact, we understand the importance of Good Friday because we know what happened on the third day. If it wasn't for Easter, Good Friday was just the execution of one of thousands of peasant Jews in the day. But with the loss of the element of surprise on Easter, I sometimes wonder if we can ever capture the real sense of its impact. It's a story we've heard over and over again. And while many in our culture focus on bunnies and chocolate, and don't get me wrong, I love bunnies and I love chocolate even more. And while most people don't give a passing thought to the resurrection, many of us have spent years of our lives working through it in our heads and have been able to come to an understanding of it. You're not going to come to an understanding of it just by osmosis without thinking it through, right? But either way, the element of surprise has been dampened by the familiarity. For me and for millions of others, though, there's an element of comfort in that. There's comfort in knowing that we're not left wondering what's going to happen, that we can expect that Jesus will be there in our times of despair. There is assurance in knowing that God can overcome any challenge we could ever face, even death. If God can bring this mind-blowing universe into being from nothing and shape it over millions of years into what we have now, if God can bring each of us into existence out of non-existence, if God can raise Jesus from death back into life, then death has been conquered. And with it, anything else that might try to defeat us or crush us. Those of us who believe in Jesus often experience the same trials, the same difficulties, the same illnesses, the same suffering, the same injustices, the same uncertainty in the face of life's events as non-believers do. Being Christian doesn't mean we are never taken by surprise, or that we have all the answers, or that we enter into a permanent state of bliss and prosperity. But to those who seek him, Jesus comes to our aid, and nothing can stop him. Did I not tell you so? Did I not tell you that I will take care of you, and I will bless you, and I will love you and forgive you in all circumstances, even in the midst of suffering and trials? See, I am in control of absolutely everything, of even more than you can ever imagine. I am even in control of death itself. And I take care of my children who love me, those who are part of my family. In the face of every trial and adversity, we can trust that a wise and powerful God is in control and will bring about good, even when we don't understand. He who has conquered death can certainly take care of us and our loved ones amidst all of the trials and challenges of our lives. When things look hopeless to us, there is hope in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. I know that disbelief is so much easier than faith. I've personally experienced God's faithfulness in my life so many times, and yet I still have to remind myself of God's faithfulness every time I'm going through a time of trial. Every time I have a problem, I have to stop and say, okay, God's got this, right? Every time I'm stressed out or worried or anxious, we have to remind ourselves. The angels spoke to the surprised women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we look for peace and hope by focusing on the fear and worry? Remember how he told you. After offering them reassurance and comfort, the angel reminded them of what Jesus had said, of the promise he had made. And because they knew Jesus, because they had followed him so closely and knew him so well, they knew that he was trustworthy. The act of recollection connects the empty tomb with the very human Jesus who ate and talked and suffered and died. Remember what Jesus did and what he taught. Remember the meals in Jesus' fellowship, his healing and his parables. The key for their faith in what has just happened is to remember what Jesus has said and done in the past. He has always fulfilled his promises. He has always been faithful. He has always been trustworthy. And he always will be. Nothing is bigger than his love for us, not even death. Nothing was going to keep Jesus inside that tomb. The Gospel of Luke tells us that then they remembered his words, right? Then the angel reminded them, then they remembered his words. And then they ran to tell the others. But the others were not convinced right away either. It took time for the 11 remaining disciples to come around. And then they remembered his words. And they began to tell everyone as well. And people believed them, not because they had scientific proof, but because they had personal eyewitness experience. They saw it with their own eyes. They were credible individuals. And in those early days, after Jesus' resurrection, they preferred to be executed rather than desisting from talking about this world-changing event that they knew was true. Think about it. Nobody is going to die for the sake of a made-up story or something that they're not 100% sure is the absolute truth. They knew it was true. They saw it with their own eyes. And they had experienced Jesus as someone who always fulfills his promises, even when it seems impossible. And they gave their lives to share it with the world. If Jesus fulfilled this, the most unlikely of promises, is there anything that he has promised us he would do that he can't or that he won't do? In times when we're not sure what to think, when we're struggling in our faith, we need only recall the ways that he has fulfilled his promises in the past, the ways that he has blessed us and taken care of us and directed our lives for our good. How he has never, ever failed us. That's why I find journaling is such a great exercise for Christians, because we can go back and flip through that journal, what we've written down, and recall all of the things that God has said and done in our lives. When we're struggling with something, when we're worried and afraid or facing a new challenge, we can recall, God has never failed me. God has never failed me. And sometimes, once the dust has settled and we're through to the other side, we can hear God say, with great love and tenderness, I told you so. And we wonder why we ever doubted him. Even though we know the story, even though we know that God has conquered death once and for all, sometimes in our times of trial, we're overcome with fear and doubt. We fear we'll be ruined by a financial setback, or we fear that depression or mental illness or an addiction or some other kind of illness will crush us under its weight. we fear we'll never be able to face the future after a divorce or the death of a loved one. We doubt that God really loves us or that God wants to help us. At those times, the grace of God can take us by surprise, much as it took the disciples by surprise. It's the grace that comes as the unexpected help from a neighbor just in the nick of time, or that comes in the words of a song, or a line from a book, or a verse of scripture that suddenly speaks straight into our hearts and souls. Or the grace comes through a friend who invites us out to try a new hobby that captivates our imaginations and renews our interest in life in a way we hadn't anticipated. Or it comes to us in an unexpected moment of laughter that lifts us out of our grief, if just for a moment, hinting and reminding us that we will feel joy again. When everything appears hopeless, God can turn our world upside down. Even in the face of death, God gives us life. Even though we've heard the story so many times, the surprise of Easter is the reminder that if God raised Jesus from the dead, if God is victorious even over even death itself, then you can count on him to get you through whatever it is in your life that threatens your peace, that causes you fear, or that seems to be crushing your spirit. Not even in the face of death, our own or that of someone we love, do we need to be afraid, because the Almighty God of the universe loves us and is on our side. We can trust in the promises of God. We can trust that he is in control of absolutely everything and that he cares about you and about every single detail of your life. Like the angel did with the women, the Holy Spirit brings to our minds the promises of God found in Scripture and reassures us that whatever we go through in life, if we go through it holding tight to Jesus' hand, we have no reason to be afraid, because he will remove any big old stone and bring us out into the light of day and give us new life. Thanks be to God. Amen and alleluia. Would you please pray with me? God of resurrection hope and of new life, we thank you that even when everything seems hopeless, when it feels like the ground has shifted beneath our feet, you are a strong and sure foundation for our lives. You are the God who does not abandon us, who refused to give us over to the hand of death, who sacrificed everything because of your great love for us, and who promises us eternal life. Help us, O God, in this season of Easter to fix our eyes on you and on your power and goodness, and help us to truly experience your peace and hope. Help us also to reflect your strong and compassionate presence to others who are in need. May others see in the way we live the confidence that we have in your love. We pray this morning for those who feel overwhelmed and who need reassurance that you are with them. Especially this morning, we pray for our families. Keep our families safe and strong, O God, especially the little children. May they grow in sure and confident knowledge of your love. On this day of celebration and feasting and family, we pray, O God, for those who are alone, for those who are homeless, for those who are struggling to make ends meet in these challenging times. And we pray for those who are ill and those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are struggling in their faith. Easter is a time of great hope, but it is also a time when many, like the disciples, feel a little incredulous. And the holidays often make the pain of challenging life circumstances more acute. So we pray that you would draw even closer to those who need to really feel your loving presence and know you are with them and that you care for them. Father, with humble and grateful hearts, we lift up these prayers, spoken out loud as well as all the silent prayers of our hearts. And we offer them to you in trust, in hope, and in the powerful name of Jesus our Lord, who died and rose again from the dead, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.